This is Robert Stark. I am joined here with Rabbit, Pilleater, and left of Arbanon. We're going to be discussing the recent Milo controversy. It's great talking to you guys.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Rabbit. Pleasure to meet you guys.
Hi, Arby.
Hi.
Arby, I haven't talked to you yet. Can you briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
Hello. I'm left of Arbanon, a former communist turned social democrat, with some specific things in my ideology. Pseudo-intellectual leftist extraordinaire and Milo expert.
So the recent controversy about Milo is that he made some comments about the age of consent, and all these people are just going crazy and calling him a pedophile and a pederast. And I think Breitbart is going to cancel him now. He just lost a major book deal.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he resigned, I think, from Breitbart. He had to.
Yeah.
So.
Does that mean his book Dangerous will not be out, or is Dangerous already out?
No. It's not already out, but it will definitely come out. I mean, something as controversial and as profitable as that, someone's going to pick it up.
Yeah, someone will publish it.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away.
Yeah. So much money to be made, man. Shekels.
So, basically, what he was saying, I mean, I think it was taken way out of context. He was saying there are some situations where you might have a teenager and they're more sexually mature and then the adult involved. And he was saying the reason he hates leftists is they have this sort of a one-size-fits-all approach. And then they were discussing the age of consent law, and it was just kind of this open discussion. And then he talked about his experience, and he joked, if it wasn't for this father so-and-so, I wouldn't give such a good head. So it's just kind of this conversation. But I think this thing's, I mean, he's a basically he's a provocative individual. He goes out of his way to troll, but that's his shtick. I mean, I think it's absurd that he's being blacklisted for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I think that, I mean, you know, number one, they, you know, saying that he advocated pedophilia, which is, you know, pedophilia has a very specific definition. You know, it has to do with like prepubescent children, not like teenagers, even like not even like 13. You know, that would be like, that wouldn't even be classified as pedophilia. Like, there's a big difference between, you know, thinking that like a high school cheerleader is attractive and thinking that like a toddler is attractive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who doesn't get a little bit excited watching Alicia Silverstone in The Crush?
Nope. Yeah. Well, you know, let's not get too out of bounds here of politically incorrect. But
Rabbit, how did you become so PC now?
Well, you know, there are some things. No, I don't know. I think Alicia Silverstone was hot in the 90s, but you know, then she went through that period where she got fat and she became like a social justice warrior, like a body posi advocate, and it just was like it just all went downhill after like maybe like 1997. But getting back to the Milo thing, and like when you bring that up, that it's like that shouldn't be classified as, you know, he wasn't advocating pedophilia. Like, I'm sorry, he just wasn't. People say like, oh, that you're like autistic and that what he was advocating was still wrong. And it's like, well, that's then, you know, you can attack him on that basis. Then if you think that he was arguing that the age of consent should be lower than what you think it should be or something. But these definitions and, you know, language matters. It bothers me because what it reminds me of, and these people don't even seem to understand this, is like when you call somebody, when somebody calls you like a white supremacist or like a Nazi or something, like if you just are against open borders, or if you just like, you know, they don't make any distinction between like a civic nationalist and white nationalist and white supremacist and Nazi and all this stuff. And they're just like, you know, what does it matter? You guys are just, you're all bad. You're all Nazis. Like, it doesn't matter. Who cares about these distinctions? It's like the same thing. Like, no, like these definitions matter. Like there's differences and, you know, the language matters.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. Like, you can make a very mild comment about immigration and get called a racist. And you can make a very mild comment about anything sexual and get called a pedophile. It's sort of this, there's a lot of similarities, but I see a lot of inconsistencies with these social conservatives, the same people who are constantly complaining about social justice warriors. I mean, they're the ones who are totally taking what Milo said way out of context.
Yeah, well, I think another part of it, though, is that you have people that already kind of, they already don't like him. So they have a history of something. So they see it as kind of like an opportunity to stick a knife in or something like that. Like you see that with, you know, a lot of people in the alt-right and even people like Richard Spencer, who people that Milo has kind of talked a lot of shit about before. So, you know, now they're just like using the opportunity to be like, oh, this is indefensible. Like, look, see, these guys are horrible. They're worse than us, actually. So I see a lot of that. A lot of it is people settling scores, which is, you know, oddly, it was the same thing that people did to Richard Spencer at the Hailgate thing at NPI. You had the people who were like, who never liked Spencer, who had these longstanding like beefs with him, that used that as an opportunity to kind of like to really stick it to him. You know, the bad press and what that he was getting from that. So it's the same. I think it's the same kind of thing. I think that's a big component to it. But yeah, these people are hypocrites, because in my opinion, when you're talking about human nature or anything like that, and anything should be up for debate. You know, that's
and he wasn't advocating. Let's go out and have sex with teenagers. He was just saying, let's have an open discussion with it. And I totally agree with Milo. I mean, Milo, obviously, you have a lot of ideological differences with Milo, and he's a lot more of a libertarian. And I mean, that's fine. It's okay to disagree. But basically, Milo is a free speech advocate, and I think people should be able to say what they want to say. They should be free to express themselves, and they shouldn't be censored.
Yeah, and I, you know, I wrote that article like 6 months ago that was like, you know, like illustrating all the things that like I didn't like about, you know, Milo and why I didn't agree with him on a number of things. So I find it kind of odd to be in a position defending him against a lot of people that I normally agree with, you know, like 80% of the time. But I just think that, you know, just being intellectually honest, like I think that, I think what he said wasn't really all that controversial. I think that you have a lot of ignorant people that really just don't, you know, they have a very low threshold for what degeneracy is. And like this whole age of consent thing, I mean, the age of consent in Japan, in parts of Japan, is only 13. In Germany, it's only like 14. In Mexico, it's 12. And, you know, like
holy
throughout,
shit.
Yeah, throughout.
Bad hombres. Bad hombres.
Yeah. So, you know, this idea that it's like, you know, totally that he's advocating something. Well, what he's talking about is kind of the norm in a lot of places, you know, outside of the United States. And I don't think that, I don't think most people know that. I bet if you ask them what the age of consent in these different countries or whatever, like they have no idea. Or even a lot of these, you know, traditional like Catholics or whatever. Well, you know, in the Middle Ages, like it was common for, you know, for people to get women to get married at age 12, you know,
I mean,
12 was like an age of consent. Like they was even lower than that. Now, granted, you were expected to get married, but this whole idea of like anything under 18 is a child is like a new thing. And it's also hypocritical because these are the same people that complain that like, that young people now are like, they're children until they're like 30 or 40 years that they should be need to grow up and make decisions. But yet, like this person, even at 17 is too emotionally immature to consent, even at 16, even at 15. And, you know, soon they'll be saying even at like age 21, age 23, you know.
I think it's funny talking about this whole pedophilia interest. I mean, we always talk about how bad and un-PC, you know, Nazi fetishism is and how much people say Nazi this, Nazi that, kill Jews. And now we have, you know, the alt-right role-playing as that. Now it seems the next big thing to basically want to shock people is pedophilia, you know, child rape or sex with children, right? It's like that South Park joke, sex with children, right? It just shocks people. And the funny part is we've had podcasts about Peter Soto's Kazeti Kino Uta, you know, Okanaganai and Lassie Nielsen, you know, because they touch upon those
Milo,
fringe subjects.
Do you think Milo is like a Lassie Nielsen fan?
Probably, if he knows what it is. And the sad truth of it is, it's probably true. A lot of kids are raped, you know, are victims of these child rapists, and they become gay later on is because that's the only sexuality they know. It's unfortunate and something that needs to be addressed. And I think Milo was trying to address that, but it got convoluted to say, oh, Milo wants to rape kids, you know? It's a strange thing. I mean, yeah, I mean, of course, also, there's like, you know, some of the beats like Allen Ginsberg, you know, how degenerate he was, and William Burroughs had a whole chapter in Naked Lunch about raping and lynching and killing children. What was it? Uncle Rumpus's Room or something? Hassan's
was
Rumpus
it,
Room?
There's some controversy. I think Allen Ginsberg was affiliated with NAMBLA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've read that before, too.
And Samuel R. Delaney? He just recently retired professor at Temple University, this black science fiction writer. Oh, he's all into that child stuff. Probably reading Peter Soto's too, and he knows about it. Keep it all a secret. And the thing is, it's like this weird, it's the, like that whole cosmic, that Pizzagate scandal, right? That whole Pizzagate scandal came on as if there's this weird, strange fringe elite that's all into child porn, and it needs to be talked about, right? It seems like the really fringe elite can take this strange appreciation for child porn, and yet they get away with these things. And I don't know. It's a strange thing. It's certainly cruel and disgusting. But you have to answer why are they doing these. Why are these esoteric things happening? And why are they having such perverted interest in these things and have such sick interest? Right. And you know, it's also funny too. You also had, you know, Salon saying those articles were about the pedophile guy saying, I'm a pedophile, but that still makes me a human being. You just have to treat me right, you know? It's the strange, it's hard for liberals.
So you think that Salon article was taken out of context by conservatives? Because he was not saying that it's okay to act on those urges. He's just saying that he was just born with this orientation and that he shouldn't be demonized. And you can interpret that either way. Greg Johnson had an interesting response to that. I think what Greg Johnson was saying in response to that, I'll post a link to that, was that he said, yes, his argument was, yes, there are people like that, but he thought by loosening the moral stigma, it was a slippery slope towards leniency towards that behavior.
Exactly.
That was Greg Johnson's
and it's like
point.
How much degenerate behavior can like our PC culture can take in. It's just crazy, you know, right? I don't know. It seems
the real question is how much can people discuss things and, you know, and have the discussion be detached from like how you like, you know, have an intellectual discussion about something and whether or not that affects you know, affect society. And Salon, by the way, took those articles down after the Milo controversy. So they didn't want to be accused of hypocrisy. So they wanted to criticize Milo. So they actually deleted those Todd Nickerson articles.
Yeah, that's weird. Did you want to say something, Arby?
I mean, the whole pederasty thing, pederasty in general is, I kind of ironically, given the alt-right's, you know, love of ancient Greece is an ancient Greek thing a lot. You see statues that are kind of, so, to those alt-righters, it was really common in ancient Greece. I mean, you had all those degenerate statues and shit. It was funny, but...
I mean, you just point that out.
Yeah, and don't forget that the anime avatar too, because like I said, the age of consent in Japan is only like 13 in some places at least, and then it's also like the you know, a lot of anime, like, you know, the cartoons themselves are pretty, like, you know. Yeah. They kind of push the envelope as far as age goes. I'll say that.
Well, look at Kasei Tsukino Uta.
No, Padaleo. Padaleo, you got everything. It's pedophilia, Nazi role play, esoteric aristocratia, devil imageries. You got every cross dressing. You got every possible offensive thing in Padaleo, and that's why it's kind of a cult classic anime from like the late 70s.
Well, almost all of them have at least some kind of like a robot rape or something like that. You know, they all have something like people would joke about the tentacle rape and stuff. And then I forget which one that is, where there's that rock man that rapes that he's like made out of rock.
Oh man, yeah.
Is that like the Fantastic Four or something?
I want to say, I can't, it's like either like Ninja Scroll or like Akira, one of those old school ones. Like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so like those are the ones that, like, you know, anime wasn't as big back then, but those were like the two that like everyone had seen.
Did a show with Paul Bingham about, I think it was the one I did about Aleister Crowley, and for some reason we got into the subject of Catholic priest, and he was pointing out this article by Steve Saylor that Steve Saylor wrote a while back, and he said what's kind of interesting is in many of those relationships, the Catholic priest often played the passive role in the homoerotic relationships.
That's just nasty.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I went to Catholic school, and I was pretty sure that, like, you know, most of my priests were probably gay. Like, I didn't realize it at the time, but as I got older, I was like, you know, yeah, that guy totally had a list. You know, I didn't
remember,
never even
guys,
thought about it.
Jesus loves you. Do your homework.
They
read the Bible
all
during
like
night.
Yeah.
I always think it's strange that it's like, that somebody who's like 20 years older than you, you know, preys upon you and does weird things so you can touch his penis or something like that. You know, it's always like those weird, like, it's too horrifying to imagine these things in your head, right? But at the same time, it's like, how do these guys get away with like abusing little children? And then, you know, it's just a strange world, this whole BL thing. They'll say like boy love BL, and they'll go and coded things, Pizzagate, the whole thing like that, right? It's weird, the whole pedophile thing, and it's just like a strange, I don't know, it's like it has to be examined more, and certainly, you know, it has to be discussed why they do these things, but, you know, at the same time, it's just horrifying to imagine that someone older than you would ever take advantage and, you know, rape you.
Guys, hey guys, just something to, like, continue, because a lot of people have discussed this, but just something that I noticed. Look at how powerful the mainstream media still is. I mean, they pretty much ruined his career, for the most part. They still have a lot of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, how easy it was for them to do it. Like, once they just decided, like, okay, you know, we've had enough of that guy. Like, they just went, because the thing is a lot of those interviews and whatnot, like, those were around, like, months ago. I remember seeing them and people talking about them, but they were like no big deal. But it was just like somebody decided that they were gonna, you know, finally make a big deal out of this thing, and they were just gonna make it that they were just going to wipe this dude out. And it pretty much happened. And it's like, that's kind of the way I see it, though, is that, you know, we all have personalities online where either we write about controversial topics, or we talk about them on these podcasts or whatever. And when I just see that happen, I just see that, like, that it could happen to any of us, you know. And that's why I'm partially, even though, like, I don't even really like Milo, but it's like, when I see them coming after him, like, you know, how could you ever have said, like, really, I see them doing that to anyone that I know, you know, and I put myself in that situation. Obviously it would be about, you know, probably some other topics as we all know, but I wouldn't, but I can see the way that they come after him. And that's the same reason I supported Richard Spencer so much during his ordeal, is because, you know, I could easily see that happening to me. Like, if they would go after, Milo over those frivolous, like, comments, I've got thousands and thousands of blog posts that, you know, are ripe for the taking, you know?
I think what's going on is because Milo was a relatively marginal figure. Milo's become a pretty fairly significant celebrity as of lately, after his Bill Maher appearance especially. And I think they're releasing it just at this moment that Milo's career is really at its peak. And then there were obviously those big protests.
Yeah, in Berkeley.
Barbie, did you want to say something?
The whole thing with Richard Spencer and the Hale Gate thing, I thought it's a little different. I mean, it's kind of explicit that he kind of did the Nazi salute, and I felt a little uncomfortable with him doing that, especially at that.
Well,
time.
He didn't do it though.
He was like, "Hail Trump, hail victory." I mean,
he didn't do the actual salute, and that's like, And even still, like, the people that were doing it were just joking around, you know?
Maybe it's still a little bit of, you know, buddy-buddy alt-right humor, but sure, yeah, I'll go.
Right, I mean, just like the drinking milk in front of the Shia LaBeouf, I mean, it's just like, that's just the way that culture, it's not like 1980s, like, skinheads, like, Sieg Heidinger. If anything, yeah. it's a joke. About that.
That's what's really strange, is because we live in this postmodern and ironic, even post-postmodern thing where Richard, I think that was convoluted too. He was basically trying to joke with that TRS audience, and what kind of, like, I think that was intended in a speech. It would be like, "Hail Trump, hail," but he meant it in a jokey way, but then was obviously translated as a full-blown, you know, 1488.
Right.
And then you had the actual TRS people do it, just like how Tila Tequila and her, you know, boyfriend did it. And it basically became, you know, even when you see on The Atlantic, the guy goes, Seacold! It makes them look like they're pretty much out of control lunatics from that different perspective. So what that postmodern thing they tried to do and say, "We're better than you," basically turned around and showed that the media was stronger than them. And yeah, that's the one thing that Spencer has to be careful, even though you could be postmodern and try to, sometimes it's like you can't escape that, and it becomes this, I don't know, it just becomes this thing where it's like they're still going to frame you as the bad guy, right? Even when you do it.
I agree, but I think that, you know, the thing is they're going to frame you that way no matter what. And the thing is I think that, like, and that doesn't mean that you actually have to, like, be a Nazi or something. But what it means is that, like, you should take the approach of, like, you know, yeah, we were, you know, those salutes were just ironic, you know, but you know what? Like, we can salute if we want to, like. You know, if we feel like saluting, we're going to salute. We're not going to not salute just because you guys are going to write a bad story about us or something like that. Like, if anything, it makes me want to do the salute. I never even, you know, I was never even like any kind of like a Hitler fetishist or anything like that. I was never even like a World War II buff or anything like a lot of those guys. But I think that it's just, the point is, like, you know, I'll salute if I want to fucking salute, you know, like, I don't want to, but
it could be compared exactly with like Richard Spencer to Milo. Milo being gay and saying, oh, well, I can, what was it, give good head to my priest. I don't know exactly what he said, but the whole point saying, well, obviously he's for
He child. Said he gives good head because of his priest.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And that assumes that he's, you know, child porn, or he advocates some like child to guy, and therefore he's the degenerate. And then on the Spencer side,
but he never advocated it. He was just having a discussion about the topic got him in, that was enough to get him in
exactly
trouble.
And if you look that up, Richard Spencer's like, oh, we're not Nazis or anything, we're just the new fash wave, fash cut people, jock land extreme 9000. And basically his whole, all right, I'll put this little joke where I pretend I'm Hitler at the end of my speech, you do it, and then people think, well, obviously he's Hitler. So both the whole the Milo and the Richard Spencer thing can really relate, because they're both in two areas which you can be pinholed in, and they try to be bigger than that, but then by associating with one thing, they're told that they're monsters. You know, it's like if you had, like, this might sound like a funny example, a black libertarian say, I'm a genius libertarian, and you shouldn't judge me because I'm black. And then he does something really black and hood and gives me that, like, and, you know.
It's funny, as there was a National Review article saying that blaming Milo on the alt-right, and then mainstream conservative, wait, that was the mainstream conservative National Review reply. Then the alt-right is saying, like, ah, oh, he's just this degenerate libertarian. But they're both sides are totally disowning him. Rabbit is part of the reason you got into kind of the alt-left scene is you wanted a quote-unquote life-safe space where people could be free to express, like, any kind of a taboo view.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, if you spend any significant time in those areas, you know, you encounter like the really like hardcore social conservatives, like that, you know, constantly call everyone a degenerate and this and that, like everything is, to them is degenerate, like so I don't know. I wanted to, like, I have more of a left wing, you know, worldview. I think, like, maybe outside of like my views on nationalism and race and things like that, like I actually identify much more with, like, you know, people like Gore Vidal and very like anti-imperialist and that sort of thing. But you can't even like have discussions within the alt-right about certain subjects because they'll just like, you know, they'll just mob you. Like, I want to talk about everything, you know? Like
David Yorkshire of that one alt-right magazine on the Facebook, simply that I joined in on Matt Forney because people were getting on Matt Forney because, I don't know, people make fun of Matt Forney because he's Matt Forney. And basically by help, you know, saying, you know, being on Forney's side, all of a sudden this one alt-right guy calls out Robert Stark and me and saying this whole alt-righter group has been ruined because Robert Stark and Pilliter are infiltrating it. And Matt Forney. They're working as a trio.
I never even saw that. Wait, what is the context of that?
I don't know. Everyone's mad at, I'm sorry for starting petty alt-right drama, but David is basically saying, I'm an Ubermensch. I'm above it all. And I'm an English aristocrat. I don't need this Oriental-loving people. But he took it out of context and, I mean, he doesn't know me or you in real life, and we probably would have him on the show just to talk about stuff, but he gets lost in this petty... Once you get lost in that whole petty gossip thing, you know, it doesn't really...
Well, some of these people just, like, have absolutely no sense of humor either. Like, I mean, they're just, like, you know, they can't even, like... You know, they can't even joke about like the Asian Aryanism thing. It's exactly. Just like they're in like full on like serious mode, like just all the time. Like, and that's why, like, it really makes you like almost question your direction, because it's like, you know, yeah, like I kind of support this ethno state stuff, but like, is it going to be filled with like these insufferable people? Like, I wouldn't like want to hang out with these guys in real life, like for more than like 2 minutes.
Exactly.
You know? Like,
Yeah, it's just like, you can't, it's almost a joke for them to be taking LARPing, to taking everything seriously, and then you start to realize these serious people are the ones that can't even take a joke, right? And that's sad, because it's like, can't we all just, I don't know, it seems like once you're all right, you can shake hands, but it seems like there's a whole different groups of faction of individuals that you say one thing, and all of a sudden you're on their shit list. But if you're, but if you say things like, save the white race, racial holy war, white women are beautiful, then it's like, you're on their side. But it's like...
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons I originally got interested in the alt-right, was I wanted a place where I could sort of express myself freely.
But now it became this whole, basically, this strange, like, science fiction, people are living underground and going against, what was it, Escape from New York? Where it's like, I don't know, that's what I feel like everyone's role-playing as, and now that itself could damage the image, where it's like, if the alt-right was more, like, chill and cool and be like, yeah, you could do these things. I mean, I think that's what the whole identitarians are trying to do, but in itself, it's a little too... you know, jock or Chad nationalism for me, right? I think there needs to be different levels of agency for the alt-right, and I think it's going out of control at the moment, and it's definitely becoming a LARP session.
Rabbit, what do you think about people saying that my project is too degenerate?
Well, it is degenerate, but who cares? Like, you know, like, it's
You disavow it. You know, I think you said you disavow it.
Well, I just mean from, like, an ideological perspective, but, like, you know,
not from a moralistic perspective.
Right, exactly. Not because I'm a prude. It's just because, like, you know, ideologically, that's not the, you know, Israeli Aryanism just isn't a particular direction that I want to go in, you know. It's counterproductive when you're, like, trying to, like, you know, point out disproportionate influence in certain areas and whatnot. But at the same time, like, you know, whatever, man. Like, it's fun, you know. Who doesn't like Roger Blackstone? I mean, come on, like he's probably the best guest that's ever been on Toledo's channel.
That's funny. Arby, did you want to say
I listened to those episodes with my girlfriend, and she just like cringes, like when she during those. She's like, you're listening to that, like, again? Like, please turn it off. Like, I'm going in the other room.
What, Roger Blackstone?
Yeah. She's like, I can't make it through this whole thing. I'm going in the other room.
That's funny.
Before we move on to another topic, is there anything else we can add about Milo?
I'm tired of talking about that, honestly. I've been exposed to it all day, so.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm tired of talking about it, but I also, like, besides, like, you guys didn't really have anyone else to talk to about it, because everyone else in the scene is just, they're just like piling on, you know? So it's
I can't talk about it with my little commie friends, because they hate Milo and I love him. So.
Yeah. Like, I didn't like him before, but I actually like him more now. I wish that he would have handled it better though. I think it was a mistake for him to apologize in the way that he did, and I think he should have just been like, you know, I just think that's always a mistake, that you should just be like, you know, fuck off, like, you know, my comments weren't that controversial, I'm sorry if you think that they are, like, you can fuck off.
But the, like, funny part is, he never did that. In his recent apology video, he was like, I'm so sorry guys, I didn't mean it, like, he gave in, and I feel like so weird, because he should have been fuck off.
He should know better.
But he's boning down his knees, and he's saying, you win.
I've never seen Milo so serious for such a long amount of time. It was crazy.
And now he's like pretending to be like a good, like, husband to a wife he yelled at, and now he's like sucking into it. And it's like, that's bad. He should have said, yeah, he should have stuck up to his comments, went on. That's what made him powerful. But now he's like sucking in, they're getting power. And it's like, that just should be a lesson to anyone who makes actions. Just, you know, never apologize with your actions. Stay firm with what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Milo has done. That is what Trump has done.
Not now. It's just recently in his raw apologize video, it shows you a different person. It's unfortunate. I think it was a totally wrong move on Milo to ever make an apology video like that.
Yeah.
I think one more angle we can touch upon is the kind of theme of cultural libertarianism, and that is kind of what Milo is all about. And, I mean, part of cultural libertarianism is freedom of speech, being able to say what you want. And I think that, I mean, that's a excellent thing. But then the other issue, I mean, is should there be standards of people's behavior, and I mean, who control? Who's? What's the dominant culture? And I think there are some. I like the aspect of free speech and absolute freedom of expression, but there are flaws in cultural libertarianism, because what there always is going to be a culture that's going to be dominant. And I think you can have a kind of underground fringe avant-garde. And Milo said that's kind of what he liked about homosexuality in the past. It was avant-garde because it was underground. But as far as what the dominant culture is, yeah. I mean, there do need to be some kind of standards. So I have a kind of nuanced position towards cultural libertarianism.
It's also true now.
Yeah, well,
sorry, Rabbit.
Oh, no, go ahead.
It's also true, going on the homosexual thing, it's true that homosexuality is such a norm that today people choose it as a lifestyle choice, or at least are just confused and say, oh, I was born gay. And, you know, really it's just a choice. And basically what's happening is that being gay has become loserdom, right? You're such a loser that you can't even score girls. The next thing you look at is men, and you just embrace it, and you just embrace this weird fatalism. And I just feel that it's really bad. Like what Milo's talking about, the whole avant-garde gaze, it was avant-garde in like the 70s and earlier than that. I mean, certainly there was the pretty aristocratic type who was, you know, had all this money and was like at the top, and basically his book love turned out to male love, and they were kind of like these weird Klingon people. That still happens today, and that's why it's accepted in those higher classes. But at the same time, it's become, there's some things that normie sheeple people don't need to advocate, you know, be a part of, and they think they're cutting edge and avant-garde when they try to be gay, but really they're just looking up trash culture. The same way white girls think it's cool to be feminist today. It's just like this silly thing. They don't know themselves. They want to be the protagonist anime character to an anime's nobody's watching, and it's basically a destructive, stupid thing. Same with anyone joining the Antifa. It's not productive, and it's just a pretentious show. But yeah, thinking about that, yeah, there's so many people caught up being pretentious. It's something damaging in Western culture.
Yeah, and it's interesting you brought that up, because Gore Vidal, who I mentioned earlier, actually he defended Roman Polanski, you know, who had that situation where he apparently, you know, raped or drugged like a 13-year-old girl or something when he was like in his 40s. And I think Gore Vidal said like in an interview that like he with the Atlantic, he straight up like said like, I don't give a fuck. And he called the girl like a young hooker, and he like made fun of people who were saying that, like who were trying to say that she was like in her communion dress or something when this was going on. Like, I think it's interesting though. You know, a lot of these people who are outraged by things like Milo said, like they're totally fine with, you know, they think that Polanski should be pardoned or whatever, and they should just forget about that. You know, like someone who was actually involved in something somewhat nefarious.
Yeah, Roman Polanski's case was, I mean, he drugged her and it was kind of nefarious. I think the whole kind of age of consent thing is, it's a complex issue, because in traditional societies, I mean, girls were married off at young ages when they were virgins. But there's this kind of double standard in society, this kind of a almost schizophrenic attitude where girls are encouraged to be sexualized and slutty at a younger age. But then if an older guy mentions, oh, I think that 16-year-old actress is cute, like say someone is watching Clueless and saying, oh, I thought Alicia Silverstone was really hot in that. Oh, he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Right. Like a pedophile doesn't, like, refer to someone who's, like, of reproductive age, you know? And like, girls actually do develop earlier than guys, like, in terms of, you know, like sexually and their bodies and whatnot. So like, you know, it's, you can say that like, there's a good case to be made that someone isn't emotionally or mentally mature enough to give like an informed consent at a certain age. But, you know, but that has nothing to do with whether or not you, someone should, would, it's that whether it's normal for to find someone biologically attractive. You know what I mean? I find people attractive all the time, girls attractive all the time that, you know, that would never want to have sex with me and would never give consent. It doesn't mean you still notice that you can still be honest and be like, they're attractive. You know?
Yeah, there's a fundamental difference between finding someone attractive and acting on it, but it's almost gone. And I mean, I heard about some insane law I was reading about a while back. State senator in Maine wanted to post a law called a visual surveillance. She called it visual surveillance or visual sexual assault, making it a felony for an adult to stare at a minor in a sexual manner. I mean, that's like the most Orwellian thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I should send you like this video I was watching of this chick, and she was like, she was complaining that like that it's basically like rape or something. Like if a guy is checking her out at the grocery store, you know, just because it makes her like uncomfortable or something like that. And I mean, this wasn't like, this girl wasn't even like a, you know, underage or anything. She was probably like 20 or 23. But I just think it's it's just out of control, and it's very arbitrary too, because if you date someone like that or whatever, like if the parent hates you, like you can go to jail just based on if the parent doesn't like you. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't even necessarily have to do with anything. Like I've known people that have been, you know, arrested for that sort of thing. And it was mainly because like the girl was, it was just that, you know, the dad thought the guy was a loser, you know, so he called the cops or something like
and
that.
Yeah, and
you know,
you have to look at nothing to do with it. The guy on a case by case basis. I mean, you could have a 16-year-old girl dating a guy her own age who's like some degenerate Chad type, or she could date an older guy who is a responsible, decent person. So it really depends on a case, on a kind of a case by case basis. But I do understand, like, as a society, the law needs to be kind of set somewhere, not to cause confusion. So putting the moralistic issue separate from the legal issue, but back to what we were saying with Milo,
it's about whether you can discuss it, you know?
Yeah, whether you can discuss it, because there's countries like, I think, Spain, where the age of consent is 13, and he wasn't even, I think in the UK it's like 16, he wasn't even saying it should be 13, he was just talking, discussing it. And I think the key issue, the key fundamental issue about this is that any issue should be open for discussion.
Right, and the thing is,
just
like,
even if you disagree with what he's saying.
Well, there's that, and then the issue for me is that is just the language and the accuracy, you know? Like, it's just, like, what he, you could, it's fine to say, like, if you think that, like, what he was discussing or what he was advocating was gross, or you think that he's disgusting or a degenerate or whatever, but, like, things have meanings, you know? And what he was advocating, it wasn't pedophilia. Like, it just wasn't, you know? And it doesn't matter if most people think it is, if most people are just completely ignorant about these distinctions and classifications. Like, you know, like, yeah, it matters if you call somebody a Nazi, but really they're only a civic nationalist, or if you call somebody a white supremacist, but really they're only, you know, they only want to live in like a predominantly white area or something like that.
Okay,
it's not,
so
it's, these things
if
matter.
If you want to, so let's say if a guy wants to live in a predominantly white area and finds Alicia Silverstone attractive on Clueless, he's a neo-Nazi pedophile.
Well, I mean, you know, Milo has been called a neo-Nazi, and he's like quarter Jewish or something. So
he's half,
like,
Jewish.
You know, you're not.
I mean, he's also bragged about having a sucking black cock.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, you know, I'm sorry, but like, language matters and definitions matter. So if you want to attack somebody because you think that their views, you know, are awful or something, or that you disagree with them, but it's the misrepresenting these views as something in order to pin a nasty label on your enemies or something. And that goes back to what Pilleader was talking about, is like, why is all of this this pedophile stuff in the news like so often? And like, it's all just like pedophiles and Nazis. It's because like, those are like the two things that you can disparage like your enemies with. So you just have people just doing that all day long. Like, this person's a pedo, this person's a Nazi, like, and you just have this going on like endlessly, because it's just whatever people can destroy their enemies with.
It's like two possibly most evil things in the world.
Yeah, like if you can get somebody with both, you know, I don't even know what the third, like, what's another thing that people are constantly being disparaged.
Like a violent, you know, terrorist, or I don't know, sadomasochist.
I guess like a school shooter or something,
yeah,
like that. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Be nice to write a novel about a neo-Nazi pedophile with school shooting fantasies. I think Andy Nowicki already did that, but
that kind of sounds like a little bit like my novel.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but on the name,
it's
calling,
a book to offend everyone.
Yeah. On the name calling part, I think it's strange that definitions have changed, right? Milo will say, you know, he's gay and Jewish and multicultural, and that's the only reason he can be make counter arguments against everybody else, is by being a representative of, you know, people of color. And yet there are other peoples of color against him. And yet it's strange that even if you were to use their own language to have a discussion with them, it still doesn't go through. Now we're inventing advanced concepts. They'll be like advanced racism. It's no longer about this or that. It's like some weird French critical theory nonsense studied by these prudish.
Yeah, dismantling whiteness.
If you fart, it's racist, right? It's the pseudo intellectualism that's gone out of control, and basically it resorts down to nothing but thinking about thinking about thinking.
Since we're coming on this topic, would you say like those like Lasse Nielsen films and like David Hamilton books, they are kind of racist too, because there's not that much diversity in them?
Yeah, they're aesthetically pleasing to Manorbun theories of James O'Mara, and I don't know, but the point is,
you know,
it's
almost like when you have you know, how you were talking about with these new endless new classifications, and it reminds me of like the constant stream of like new musical genres now.
Yes.
You know, that there's just like thousands of them. You know, it's like synthwave and fashwave and all of this stuff, and there's just so
Wikipedia
many
page
of them. Everything and where you have like a little name for like this kind of racism and this kind of sexism.
Exactly.
And, you know,
it's our wonderful postmodern. It's so stupid. It's you know, it's like everyone has given up, and now everyone's red pilled. They don't even care anymore, right? I used to think how what a joke digital hardcore was. I'm like, what the hell is digital hardcore? It's only industrial music. That's electronic rock. But now it's like, it's strange, because it's weird, because now people literally take vaporwave goddamn seriously to a point that it's culture, like C-punk. You know, it's this. It's, you know, it's funny, and then it's a joke now, and it's a meme. It's almost like everything is being memed to death. We realize that there's these hostile elites calling everyone they don't like racist, and everyone who tries to comprehend, like, it's weird. It's literally boils down to, if you get all the rhetoric away, it's just people not liking people, really. And it's funny, but I think, like, the point of the matter is to really, it's basic stuff. It's like, that's why the Manosphere works so well, and why other red-pilling wisdom on the internet. It's just gang weaving out this pretentious intellectual sickness that whites are having in the Western world, and basically installing
them with
new language.
Even with the Manosphere thing and the Manosphere wing of the alt-right, I think they would go overboard if you disagree with them. Yeah. Oh, you're a cuck.
But they all agree. Well, they like Asian women. I mean.
But I remember when I used to go on like Roosh's forums back in the day, which practically converted me to feminism, which is being on those forums with those dudes would convert almost anyone to feminism. But the
Roosh is not the best character. I kind of despise him.
Yeah.
I used to like some of his videos I used to think were funny, but I just I got into that environment and I was just to check it out mostly. And it was just the reason I bring it up is because on his forum, it was run with an iron fist, and people were just banned left and right. And they had all of these different classifications for different kinds of trolls and infractions where you could be banned, and it was all this, this manosphere lingo, big baller troll and this that and this, all of these different things that you could be.
Yeah, it started out as people wanting freedom from this kind of politically correct world, but then they kind of recreated it,
mm-hmm.
and you see that in a lot of subcultures. I think I want to talk before we're getting towards the end of the show. I want to touch. I did. So I just created a vaporwave of Milo to use for the show, and I'm going to title it. It's Milo with his blonde hair, and I give him blue eyes, and it's Israeli Aryan vaporwave Milo.
It does work because he's Jewish himself, so that perfectly works well. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting to think about. You might want to ask Milo about that in person, but.
I can see him taking up this idea, the Israeli Aryanism, just for the troll value. Now that his status has declined and he's been disowned, I think he's more accessible to people like us.
Oh yeah,
he's definitely more likable, I find, actually, just because I always thought I never really liked his shtick before, and now he's kind of I feel I relate to him more now because he's not he's someone who's actually more underground now because he's been ostracized and alienated, so I relate to him more now, strangely.
And he doesn't have to pander to the whole mainstream conservative Breitbart audience. He can be himself.
Yeah, he should just go full shitlord now that he doesn't even have these ties or whatever. It'll be interesting to see if he will change it all and actually be more open about certain topics, or if you go the other way. Richard Spencer seems to think that Milo could potentially become an apologetic kind of left wing guy,
the Southern Avenger. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I want to as we're getting close to the end, I want to comment on something completely off topic. Rabbit,
go
you wrote this article called The Other Mayans, and it's about this kind of a Mayan 70s architecture genre. And I've seen some of that kind of stuff in LA. It's pretty cool. It reminds me of when I was in Hawaii, there was this big pink pyramid that was built in the 70s. This was in Maui, Kaanapali Beach. And I remember my parents commenting on how much of an eyesore what it was by saying, I think that's kind of cool. It's it's archaeofuturism.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with these condos called the Maya. It's if any normal person went by, they'd be why the hell did they make these? These are hideous. And for a long time, they were had kind of... they used to be cool in the 70s. I think Cesar Romero actually lived in those, and he had played Batman, or he had played the Joker in the original Batman TV show.
Oh, I see that image Pilliter sent. It's more of the Polynesian. kind of the 60s Polynesia.
Ocean City in Wildwood, New Jersey. I've been going there as a kid, and they have vintage from the 50s, 60s, and 70s motels of, like, Polynesian and Mayan stuff. I know what Robert's talking about. There was this flirtation. I mean, even look at the history between IHOP, International House of Pancakes. That was a totally old-school waspian thing where it's like, well, you can taste the different variations of different worlds while we're in our red chair. It's really interesting and cool, but everyone lost that meaning. I remember just being in Ocean City in Wildwood. It's still there, too, you know, with all these different exotic, you know, from doo-wop to Mayan character. It's definitely, there's so much neon there, too. It's kind of like a miniature Las Vegas in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I also like Mayan-themed Art Deco stuff.
Yeah, and these, like, these Mayan condos, I almost kind of, like, you know, I almost kind of feel, like, a certain disgust for, like, the people that live there, because I feel like they probably don't appreciate it. Like, you know, like, they should be, like, full-on LARPing. Like, if I lived in those places, like, I would be, like, you know, they were, like, just there's so much like weird architecture in the 70s, but these condos like 10 or 15 years ago, like there was just nothing but like trashy people living in them. Yeah. And they're like, there was even like a gunman, like sniper situation at this place. Like they had totally gone downhill. Now they've been revived because they're in like a really good neighborhood. But I think that it's really, they're really cool because they actually went through the trouble of, like, you know, building like Mayan style statues and some like some weird kind of like artwork and stuff. Like they went a little bit further than just kind of like a token, like, oh, you know, we're going to call this place the Mayan, and you know, we're going to have a pool that looks in the shape of a like a Mayan pool or something like that. Like they went more than what they probably needed to. It's just the place is just very 70s. Yeah.
I see the same thing with kind of Egyptian imagery. It was used, pyramids were popular, like Egyptian stuff was used a lot in the Art Deco era. Then you had these different pyramids, like the Transamerica pyramid in San Francisco. And I mean, I love all that stuff, but I remember there was this period when the Alex Jones conspiracy theory stuff was big, and like, that is Masonic architecture. That's the architecture of the Illuminati. But now the whole kind of Vaporwave thing is in. Now everyone has like this pyramid avatar now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's weird because, yeah, you'll find that all over Wildwood, New Jersey, but the only problem is, you know, yeah, all the girls and boys there are like tattooed New Jersey people. I mean, some of the girls there are cute. There's a lot of prostitutes in Wildwood. They're just like tattooed like street girls in their early 20s. But yeah, it doesn't have that like, you know, it's not the classic waspy and mod girl stuff. It's more like Jim Goad type of ladies.
Oh yeah, like I'm thinking of the episode of like the Jersey Shore stereotype.
Oh,
kind
yeah,
of. But
it's
looking,
all over.
I'm looking at some pictures of Wildwood. You do see this kind of cool kind of a old school like boardwalk setting with a lot of cool like vintage neon.
Oh yeah, it's definitely something of that. That whole ancient 1950s, you know, and past just preserved, but seeing people really don't care. It's just there. It's kind of like a weird, kind of like a New Jersey cyberpunk, you could say. A New Jersey retro, I don't know what to call it.
We are at the end of the show. Is there anything else any of you guys like to add about any of these topics before I wrap things up?
That's pretty good.
Not really.
Okay, so it's been a great show. This Milo, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Milo. Thanks again for being on.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Right.